The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The Patriot is WWTC Minneapolis, St. Paul. FM 107.5, K298CO, Minneapolis. Intelligent radio.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. This coming week, we'll deliver virtually certain House impeachment on President Trump on Wednesday. Senator Ted Cruz says that the Senate will hear from both sides during the impeachment trial.
We're going to respect due process. I think that means we allow both sides to present their case. We should allow the House managers to do their very best and present their case. But you can be sure we're going to allow the president to defend himself as well. And that means, I believe, if the president wants to call witnesses, if the president wants to call Hunter Biden or wants to call the whistleblower, the Senate should allow the president to do so.
Senator Ted Cruz appeared earlier on ABC's This Week. Former Gary Mayor Richard Hatcher, who became one of the first black mayors of a big U.S. city, has died. China's postponing punitive tariffs on U.S.-made authorities or U.S.-made automobiles and other goods. More details at srnnews.com.
Larry Elder sees the country turning on the Democrats.
51% think that President Trump should not be impeached and removed from office. And the Quinnipiac poll writes this, quote, "Today's poll is the first time since House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced the inquiry that more than half of voters say that Trump should not be impeached."
The Larry Elder Show, afternoons at 5 on AM 1280, The Patriot. Intelligent radio.
There are only 10 days till Christmas. And are you still on the naughty list from last year's Christmas gift? Well, make sure that this year is one to remember with a special gift from Wicks and Jewelers in Bloomington. Opened extended hours every day until Christmas. Just past 2 o'clock here in the Twin Cities, let's take a look at your forecast from the Great Plains Windows and Doors Weather Center. High of 9, low of 7. It'll be cloudy all day long. And we got hour 2 of the Brad Carlson Show of the Narn coming up right now here on The Patriot.
Stand by for the Northern Alliance Radio Network. And go launch sequence. Engineering?
Go flight.
Master control?
Go flight.
Studio engineer?
Go flight.
We are go for launch in T-minus 3, 2, 1. We have liftoff.
The Northern Alliance Radio Network is on the air. Live and local from the AM 1280 The Patriot Studios in Eagan. Here is the closer, Brad Carlson.
AM 1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network. Back with hour number 2 of the broadcast we like to call the closer. That's me, Brad Carlson. Thanks as always for tuning into our show. You can check out my blog at bradcarlson.org. And we are here to take your phone calls at 651-289-4488. You can also weigh in via Twitter. Just use hashtag Narn Show, hashtag N-A-R-N Show for any comments or questions. And if you'd like to follow us on Facebook, feel free to do so. Just go to Facebook.com, do a search for the Northern Alliance Radio Network, and give us a like if you haven't done so already. And as always, we appreciate your support and continuing to tune into the Northern Alliance Radio Network, going on 16 years of dominating the all-important local political talk on weekends, and no signs of slowing up, that is for sure. And I've been grateful to be along for the ride for 8.5 of them. So, as always, appreciate you tuning in. I want to move to a frequent guest and friend of the broadcast, of course, our political wonk, Matt Mikowiak. A lot going on. National news this past week, particularly 2 articles of impeachment passed through the House Judiciary Committee along party lines, citing President articles of impeachment, of course, against President Trump, and of course, the Inspector General's report on FISA abuses. We'll definitely get into that with our political walk, Matt Mikowiak. You can find his fine work, MacOnPoliticsPodcast.com. That's M-A-C-K, MacOnPoliticsPodcast.com. Matt, I just listened to your interview with Bill O'Reilly this past week. Fantastic stuff. Great get, by the way. Wow, you can really bring in the big guests here, Matt Mikowiak. Impressive.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah, there's a surreal quality sometimes when you're interviewing someone like Bill O'Reilly. I mean, I spent, you know, years watching O'Reilly Factor in the evening, not really in the last 3 or 4 years, but really in the, you know, years beyond that. And it was a good conversation. You know, he's in an interview exactly as you'd imagine. He's opinionated.
Yep.
He's, you know, confident. Yeah, this was interesting because he was just coming off having interviewed President Trump for his radio commentary segments and his own podcast. And if you haven't listened to that interview with the president, it was about as sharp an interview as I've heard. He really pressed him on some things, on impeachment, on Ukraine, on the border and the narco-terrorists. Really was a great conversation and worth checking out.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I did hear Bill himself promote that on your podcast. So, yeah, that's one I'll definitely have to catch up on as well. Speaking of impeachment, Matt Mikoviak, as we alluded to, the House Judiciary Committee passed two articles of impeachment pretty much along party lines. As time has gone on, Matt, the support for impeachment has shifted, particularly among independents, where most were in favor to the point now where most oppose it. Obviously, it really doesn't stand much of a chance in a Senate trial unless you can get 20 Republicans to flip with all 47 Democrats. I don't see that happening. So I guess the logical question is the Democrats have already come this far. They certainly can't go back. So ultimately, what do you see that as they're hoping to get out of it at this point?
Yeah, I don't. The only real goal that I could see that they could still have in their grasp is the question of whether impeachment will weaken President Trump's chances for re-election. Yeah, right now, it just doesn't. It doesn't, you know, look that way. But you know, it certainly could look that way by middle to the end of next year potentially. But you're right. I mean, if you look at independents, if you look at the battleground states, you know, we have limited polling, but for the polling we do have, it does appear that this has moved in Trump's direction and away from the Democrats. You know, what part of how you know this is a kind of a very helpful situation for Republicans and a very difficult situation for Democrats is think about this. Who is under pressure right now? There's not one elected Republican in the House who's under pressure to support impeachment.
Right.
Right. All the pressure that's being felt is being felt by Democrats. And that's why you have this rather remarkable reporting yesterday that Jeff Van Drew, the first term Democrat from New Jersey, is in the final stages of deciding to switch parties. Now, that may be because, you know, his district, I don't know, maybe his Democratic, you know, primary electorate didn't appreciate his likely vote against impeachment. But if you'd said 2 months ago, a Democrat was going to switch parties, you know, which is more likely that a Democratic House member will switch parties or that a Republican House member will switch parties, I think all of us would have said probably a Republican. I mean,
right. This
whole impeachment case has fallen apart. There's no crime. There's no victim. They haven't met the threshold of high crimes and misdemeanors. They've been so sloppy and promiscuous with the language they've used, going from quid pro quo to bribery to extortion. You know, now they're just going to make the argument that he abused his power and that he obstructed Congress. Well, claiming executive privilege is not an impeachable offense. Just because they want to do this now and not wait for the courts to adjudicate it, that doesn't make this an impeachable offense.
Right.
So I just think the thing to watch this week, it looks like the vote in the House will be Wednesday. The thing to watch this week is how many Democrats vote no on at least one of the two articles. You know, it could be three or four members, could be five to seven. You might have, you know, three or four vote no on both and three or four vote no on one of them, perhaps the obstruction to Congress article. So it's going to be interesting to see. But look, the bipartisan quality here is going to be opposition to impeachment. There's no question about that.
So that was my next question. You know, the vote, if it comes up later this week, and then how quickly does it move over to the Senate side, the Senate trial? And because it sounds like, we heard a sound clip from Ted Cruz during the break that they want to allow the president to call as many witnesses as he would desire. So I guess that from that time frame, does this thing roll into to 2020? What are your estimates on that, Matt Mikoviak?
Yeah, I do think it moves into 2020. You're going to see the House pass the agreed upon spending bill on Tuesday. That'll go to the Senate. They'll take that up, pass it almost right away. The problem is that once the articles of impeachment pass the House, They are privileged, and they must be the next thing considered in the Senate. So the Senate, I imagine, will vote on the spending bills and likely recess pretty quickly. They've signaled they're not going to take up impeachment until January, and that the USMCA, the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement, which the House is expected to pass on Thursday, would not be taken up by the Senate until impeachment is over. So there's some incentive there, both for the from the White House, but also just for Republicans in the Senate, not to drag out the trial. You know, make it two weeks, 3 weeks, not 2 months, perhaps, from a USMCA standpoint. Keep the other thing in mind here. Look, I'm sympathetic to the idea that the White House may want to see Hunter Biden get called and Joe Biden get called and his whistleblower get called and Adam Schiff. Look, I'd love to hear from all those people under oath. The challenge is that with these witnesses, ultimately it's a 51-vote threshold. So, you know, if you had 47 Democrats and you had four Republicans, they could all agree to call Mick Mulvaney, the acting chief of staff, or John Bolton, the former national security advisor. I can't say with confidence that if John Bolton was called, that his testimony under oath would not be politically harmful to the White House. I don't know, but it certainly could be. And so that's what Senate Majority Leader McConnell cited. Used the phrase mutually assured destruction in talking about a long, drawn-out trial with lots of witnesses. And so I don't think they're going to go that direction. I really don't. I think the House managers will, you know, present their case. The White House will choose how to present their case, and then you'll have a vote. So I think it'll be pretty quick. I think it may be, you know, a week and a half to 2 weeks, early to mid-January, and then you'll see an acquittal. And I'll make another prediction, Brad, just in case I'm not on before the impeachment vote is in the Senate. I believe you're going to have bipartisan opposition to impeachment in the Senate. You're going to have bipartisan votes for an acquittal. I'll predict right now that Joe Manchin, Democrat of West Virginia, will vote no. And then two other people to watch are Doug Jones, Democrat of Alabama, who's up for re-election, likely against Jeff Sessions. And then even Kristen Sinema, the kind of iconoclastic hard to predict moderate Democrat from Arizona. You could have three Senate Democrats vote to acquit the president, at least on the issues here. So it'll be something to watch.
Yeah, we've kind of been seeing their ripple effects, of course, of this impeachment saga, too, particularly as it pertains to the Democrat race for president. Right now, Joe Biden seems to be the front runner. Elizabeth Warren has fallen back. Bernie Sanders has kind of, you know, stayed somewhat steady among the top three. I guess I don't know what poll it was, but there was a story that I had seen that there was some poll taken that if Hillary Clinton were to jump in today, that she would be immediately the front runner. Given what we've seen thus far from the Democrat side, Matt Mikowiak, what percent chance do you give that Hillary Clinton would possibly hop in at this point?
I think it's low. I think it's really low, like less than 20%.
Really? Okay.
And the reason I say that is she's already missed some pretty key filing deadlines. It's not just the early states like Iowa and New Hampshire. She's missed Texas. She's missed California. She's missed a number of the Super Tuesday states already. Could there be a mathematical path? I guess potentially. I think that there's two things to watch as it relates to the potential for Hillary to ultimately be in this race. The first is I think Joe Biden has to totally fail and almost really drop out. I mean, her votes are going to come from you know, his votes, basically.
Sure.
And there's just not enough room for both of them, and she realizes that. And I don't think she really wants to run. She's living her best life. She's not, you know, dealing with difficult schedules and press questions and all that stuff. I think the second thing to watch is, and I know we say this every 4 years for one side or the other, but it sure seems to me, given that there's no real front runner on the Democratic side, and given that they allocate delegates proportionally throughout the entire primary, it's one of the big differences between Democrats and Republicans. I think the odds are really high that no one will clinch the majority number of delegates needed by the time the convention comes around.
Okay.
So you could have a scenario where, you know, Biden's in first, but not really all that strong, and then maybe Warren, and then Buttigieg. Could there be, you know, Bloomberg maybe in the mix there somehow from Super Tuesday? You know, could there be a scenario where ultimately she is sort of a last-minute candidate at the convention? I think that's a scenario where then she doesn't have to run the gauntlet of the primaries. It's a shorter campaign. That might be more appealing to her. So I think the odds she's going to get in are pretty low. I think missing Texas and missing California is really problematic.
Okay, yeah, I did. I guess I wasn't aware of the logistics of this, and I suppose maybe this news story was more of just kind of a fun exercise to see how that would stack up to the compare of the other candidates. Talking impeachment this segment with Matt Mokowiak, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back with Matt, we're going to talk about the Inspector General report that was released earlier this week. Former FBI Director James Comey did kind of the proverbial victory lap. That seems a little overzealous, to be sure. Back with Matt Mokowiak, Political Wonk, talking about the IG report next on the Northern Alliance Radio Network. Go nowhere.
Digital marketing is a big part of just about every business. It's everywhere. Is your business using it to your advantage? Are you receiving your share of the leads? If you're not effectively using digital media, you could be losing sales by the second. Even worse, your customers can be grabbed up one by one, never to return. Not sure if you're losing out to the competition? Salem Surround can help you. We give you all the right tools to surround your target audience and turn website visitors into leads. Salem Surround is a full-service digital agency providing you with all your marketing under one roof. Total market penetration for increased return on investment. Contact Salem Surround for a free evaluation of your digital presence and to learn more how we can help you place your advertising message in front of today's digital consumers. Salem Surround helps deliver customers by putting your business message in front of the right person at the right time. Learn more at surroundmsp.com. Connecting you with new customers.
Varicose and spider veins. Wow, what a gift from my parents. They had them and I got them. And not only are they uncomfortable and sometimes painful, but I stopped wearing skirts and shorts because I was embarrassed and I really hated the way my legs looked. When my kids asked, "What are those things on your legs?" I was done. I finally went to Vein Clinics of America. The procedure took about an hour and I was right back to work. The staff made me feel so comfortable and the result, well, even my husband noticed. Vein Clinics of America has been treating vein disease for over 35 years. They're the largest and most experienced in the U.S. Look, I've been doing the commercials for Vein Clinics for years because I really believe in them, and you can trust them too. So stop hiding your legs. Vein Clinics of America accepts most major insurance plans. So call now to see if you qualify for a free consultation. Call 800-940-5500. 800-940-5500. That's 800-940-5500.
Quit smoking, chew, and vaping with a special half-price offer from AM 1280 The Patriot and Breathe Freedom from Nicotine. Get one program for $250. That's half price for the faster, easier, and more effective way to quit smoking. There's a limited number of these half-off deals available. It's just $250 for one person, and you could save thousands this year. Call The Patriot today at 651-405-8800. That's 651-405-8800.
What does it mean to be a Christian woman in today's culture? How does your faith in Jesus Christ relate to the world around you? Sometimes to have faith can seem like an overwhelming task in today's busy and sometimes challenging landscape. That's why you need to visit iBelieve.com. iBelieve.com is a site designed for Christian women. iBelieve.com has blogs, videos, and even daily devotionals. Whether you're looking for advice, ideas for your church group, or just an uplifting message, visit iBelieve.com. That's iBelieve.com.
That was great timing. Had a coughing fit just as we're back on the air. Hey, welcome back. AM 1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network with me, Brad Carlson. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter. Hashtag Narn Show, hashtag N-A-R-N Show for any comments or questions. Continuing our discussion with Political Wonk, Matt Mokowiak talked impeachment. The first segment, want to transition now to the report released by Inspector General Michael Horowitz regarding the FISA abuses. Matt Mokowiak, I was kind of taken aback by former FBI Director James Comey kind of doing the proverbial victory lap when this IG report was released. And as it turns out, and according to Mr. Horowitz's testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee, the Steele dossier was indeed a primary part of obtaining a FISA warrant to spy in the Trump campaign, something that left-wing journalists and left-wing politicals alike all denied was the case. A lot of people eating crow on this day. And again, Director Comey's attitude in the aftermath of this just doesn't seem to square with what the report said, Matt Mokowiak.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, his appearance on Fox News Sunday was really disastrous this morning. The more he talks, the harder it is to take his words at face value. And it's a sad thing because I think at one time, I think he was really a true professional. Served as deputy attorney general in the Bush administration, served as FBI director for a long time. Pretty clear he bungled both the Clinton and Trump investigations in 2016. And look, I think he's been effectively radicalized by what's occurred over the last year and a half. I think he, you know, didn't ever accept the fact that he could be fired by the president, and he was. And he certainly hasn't taken well all that's come out since then. So the fact that he would look at the IG report and initially respond as though it were, you know, a positive thing for him is ridiculous. He seems to want to take a victory lap over the finding that the inspector general did not find evidence that the Crossfire Hurricane effort, the investigation of the Trump campaign, was originally started with bias in mind, as though that were the only concerning allegation that's out there. That would have obviously made the findings of the report far more concerning. But I think it's clear Attorney General Barr and U.S. Attorney John Durham, who's doing a criminal investigation, don't buy that conclusion. And just because Horowitz didn't find evidence of bias doesn't mean there wasn't bias.
Sure.
So setting that aside, though, you have enough really bad facts in the IG report that there's so much there that really undermines almost everything Comey has said in public since then. The fact that exculpatory information was not included in the FISA warrant applications, that to me ought to be criminal. You know, it's amazing to me that you can go to the most sensitive court, that has responsibility for basically allowing surveillance on American citizens, something that happens, very, very, very rarely. But to do that so cavalierly, and I mean, I don't, you could maybe argue that there wasn't bias on the front end. There was clearly bias when they were leaving exculpatory information out. They wanted to continue their FISA warrants. They thought they could get something that would hurt Trump or that would implicate him or his campaign in collusion. That ultimately wasn't there, but they wanted to keep the surveillance going. They learned that Carter Page was not a Russian asset, but in fact was a CIA asset, and that's why he was meeting with Russians. Mm. And they learned that early on, Brad.
Yeah.
The fact that was kept from the FISA court, I mean, it's an absolute scandal. It's a scandal. And the lack of curiosity and honesty on behalf of the national media throughout this episode is in some ways the most depressing and disgusting thing about this whole thing. There have been no corrections. There have been no apologies. There have been no firings. There have been no suspensions. There have been no internal investigations in the national media over the last 2 weeks since this has come out. It is just jaw-dropping to me. And so we'll see what happens with Durham's investigation. It sounds like it's not going to hit till next year. But this was not a very good week for Jim Comey. It was certainly not a good week for people who hyped the FBI investigation of the Trump campaign. And in fact, it was a very good week for Devin Nunes, whose memo, which was, undermined at the time, proved prescient. And again, it was another indication that Adam Schiff is fundamentally dishonest.
We do have a caller that wants to weigh in with a question. Mark from St. Louis Park is online, too. Mark, go ahead. You're on with Matt Mikowiak.
Brad, real quick, but real funny with your engineer. I said, thanks for letting me call twice today. And he said, that's okay, Mark, you're part of our family. We love hearing from you. And I said, thank you very much. That makes up for the rest of my family who never wants to hear from me.
Well, we appreciate it, Mark. Yeah.
We love you, Mark.
Conservative. Thank you very much. So just real quick, my brother is a deputy sheriff. And if he gets a warrant wrong, he serves warrants, there's an omission or clerical error, one, the judge will throw it out. We have 51 errors and omissions. It's in the appendix. The general deemed 17, his opinion only, as extremely important. But there was 51, according to John Solomon, in the appendix. So, again, we had this narrative, Hunter Biden made $50,000 a month, no, $83,000 a month. We found that from the court cases. And they're using the 17. Those were deemed the most important by the inspector general, but we don't know that. There was 51 total. And I'll hang up, get the opinion from Matt.
Yeah, Matt, go ahead. I don't know if you were able to ascertain all that, but respond if you'd like.
No, I thought you made some great points. And I don't know why a deputy sheriff, you know, can't make one mistake when the government lawyers presenting the FISA warrant, you know, made that many mistakes. Look, this was not clerical errors, right? This was not, you know, not crossing I's and dotting T's. In one case, you had an FBI lawyer quite literally change an email saying Carter Page was not a CIA asset to change. Excuse me, saying that he was from saying that he was a CIA asset to saying he was not. I mean, changing the fundamental meaning of an original source document that should be considered by the FISA courts. Well, keep in mind, the FISA courts reject less than 1% of applications. And the reason for that is it is used sparingly.
Right.
And it should be used sparingly because you're talking about the most awesome powers that our government has to surveil American citizens. The standard has to be incredibly high.
Right.
And so because of that, the lawyers have to present everything, including information that goes against their own case. They are required to do that by law. And so by depriving FISA court judges from having the full picture, from understanding who was funding the Steele dossier, from understanding who Steele was and who he was relying on, from understanding how central the Steele dossier was to the FISA warrant applications, from understanding who Carter Page actually was. These were not things they learned at the end. These were things they learned at least after the first warrant application and before the three extensions. So you can make an argument the FISA warrant maybe could have been approved in the first case, but it should not have been extended three more times had this exculpatory information been presented as it was required by law.
You know, there was some of the more fascinating viewing, Inspector General Horowitz appearing before the Senate committee this past week. It was almost like it was Senator Richard Blumenthal, the Democrat out of Connecticut. It was almost like he was trying to do Jedi mind tricks. He says, well, you know, these FISAs, they're renewed because they're producing useful information, correct? And the IG says, well, they should be. And he says, but they were producing useful information, correct? And IG Horowitz finally had to say, no, I don't know that that's entirely correct. I mean, a lot of narratives busted up right in that committee, right in on national television, Matt Mikowiak.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly that question. I mean, what were they producing that was useful, I think, is a good question. Carter Page didn't know anything useful. He's just a strange person who somehow was a CIA asset. But I think the better question is, you know, the fruit of the poisonous tree argument, if you've watched Law and Order, at any time in the last 15 years, you know that you cannot produce even useful information if it is unlawfully gotten in the first place. And again, I mean, the standard for using government surveillance against an American citizen must be so high, incredibly high, must be an open and shut case. And so that's why I kind of go back to this question of bias. There may not have been bias, when Crossfire Hurricane was started. We'll see what Durham finds on that. At least I'll accept the IG's initial belief on that. But there, when you leave exculpatory information out, that is proof of bias. That is absolutely proof of bias. That's not sloppiness.
Right.
That's not professional, misjudgment. That is intentional. And honestly, we should be looking at disbarment at a minimum and criminal charges at a maximum if the law was broken. And I'm really glad that we have an attorney general that doesn't mind being attacked and insulted by the chattering class in New York and Washington and is willing to pursue this to the fullest extent. I'm really glad we have someone in that office that's willing to do that. I think it needs to be done.
Yeah, you know, he's onto something when you have someone like Eric Holder, of all people, chiding Attorney General Barr as being too much of a partisan. Now, that was really rich coming from him, Matt Mikowiak.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Again, we're joined by Matt Mikowiak. Check out his fantastic work, MacOnPoliticsPodcast.com. That's M-A-C-K, MacOnPoliticsPodcast.com. As I alluded to, he had a big interview with Bill O'Reilly, which I had a chance to listen to earlier this week. Fantastic stuff in his weekly Washington Times column. Is available there as well. Matt, we only got a minute or so left to go. I know that occasionally you get some national appearances going on. So I think we were on the McLaughlin Group recently. Fantastic stuff. Anywhere that people can find Matt Mikowiak, find some more of your insights coming up here?
Appreciate that. I have a range of things that I do on a regular basis. The Washington Times column runs every Thursday. in print and is online every Wednesday evening, and all the podcasts and all the columns are at the website you mentioned, MacOnPoliticsPodcast.com. I do appear on both Fox News and MSNBC from time to time, and that's just sort of, you know, it's hard to predict exactly when that'll be. But I did enjoy just doing McLaughlin Group this weekend. If people go to McLaughlin.com, they can watch that most recent episode.
Fantastic. Well, Matt, we appreciate your time as always. I know that you seem to be everywhere at once, and we always appreciate the opportunity we have that for you to join our radio station and share your insights. So have a great rest of the day. If I don't talk to you before then, have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we'll definitely hope to call on you again in 2020. It's going to be a big year.
Oh, I look forward to it. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to you and all your listeners. Take care, Brad.
Appreciate it, Matt. Thanks as always. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter, hashtag Narn Show, hashtag N-A-R-N Show for any comments or questions. Coming back with another segment on the broadcast, it's me, Brad Carlson, the closer. Go nowhere.
When you're diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer,
a million questions flood your mind.
How can this be happening?
Am I going to be able to work?
What's a subtype?
What do I do now?
We know.
We went through it too.
But once you start to understand your options,
you can partner with your doctor
and find ways to face MBC on your own terms.
Visit findyourmbcvoice.com and learn how to speak up and have a more informed conversation with your doctor.
Some questions have answers.
Visit findyourmbcvoice.com to find some of yours.
We can all agree that a good education benefits students, their family, and society as a whole. Education shapes your child into the person they will become. Join your local hosts, Rebecca Hagstrom and Mark Durkin, as they explore how to get the best education for your child while ensuring that the values you're teaching at home are being respected. From cursive to curriculum and everything in between, school is now in session.
Education Nation, Saturdays at 6 p.m. on AM 1280, The Patriot.
Giving your computer problems a boot, Arby's Computer Service.
When you want your computer fixed right the first time, Arby's is the place.
Hi, this is Randy from Arby's Computer Service. Why is it that your cell phone is replaced every 2 to 3 years with no thought about cost, but when it comes to your computer in your office, you try and hold out 5 to 6 years or longer to do the same?
Arby's Computer Service.
What is that loss in productivity doing to your bottom line? Do you know that we can sell you a brand new commercial computer that is super fast for less than the cost of your new iPhone or Android phone? Why are you waiting? Call us today. We can be reached at 763-441-3884. That's 763-441-3884. Or on the web at rbsmn.com.
Giving your computer problems the boot, Arby's Computer Service.
You hear a lot of business people talk about core values these days. That sounds good, but if you're like me, you're just not sure what that means until you come across a company like Core-Mark Metals. Owners Diane and John Dorminen founded the company in 1992 on this basic principle: provide quality products with outstanding service. You can rely on Core-Mark Metals to help you reach your goals. Their innovative solutions will keep your business and projects running smoothly. Whether you're looking to manufacture a product to bring to market, needing thousands of parts fabricated to impeccable standards, or building a trailer in your garage, Core-Mark Metals will ensure you meet your goal. To find out more about their extensive stock of metal hardware or to explore their menu of fabrication and design services, join them at CoreMarkMetals.com. That's CoreMarkMetals.com. Or visit one of their newly remodeled retail centers to speak with a friendly and knowledgeable team member. You can shop metals or hardware and get inspired. Core-Mark Metals, where technology and creativity meet.
Welcome back, AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network.
Hey girl, what you doing down there?
I actually made a Tony Orlando reference yesterday.
I don't know who Tony Orlando is.
You wouldn't, and that's perfectly fine. But we made an allusion to Chico and the Man, a 70s sitcom that only lasted a season two, and of course it would have gone on a couple more seasons had the main star, Freddie Prinze, not killed himself. And I said, why didn't they just slip Tony Orlando in there? Seamlessly transition, you know.
I wouldn't know.
Oh, not because I'm insinuating that all Hispanics look alike. That's not what I was saying.
Well, you better not be.
But they were good buddies because people thought they looked alike.
Okay.
And so I'm thinking, well, Tony Orlando, he's an entertainer. He could have polished up the acting chops. But anyways, yeah, Knock Three Times from Tony Orlando and Dawn. That's our bumper music.
I like the song, though. I just never heard of
it. It's a fun song. Yeah. And I don't think apartments have exposed pipes anymore, so it's not really relevant to today.
Maybe
so.
In New York.
Yeah.
Maybe still in New York.
Could be. I would hope they would modernize it a little bit, but
wow.
That's another story entirely. Hey, welcome back. AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. Number to call, 651-289-4488. Again, if you want to weigh in via Twitter, just use hashtag Narn Show, hashtag NARN Show for any comments or questions. And as always, we appreciate you tuning in. And I, you know, Mark made mention of this, and I appreciate that. Mark from St. Louis Park, regular caller, how much he enjoyed yesterday's show. It was myself on Mitch Berg's show, along with Northern Alliance Radio Network alum Ed Morrissey and current Narn charter member King Banyan, who's, of course, heard on our sister station, AM 1440, Saturdays 9 to 11 a.m. We did the worst 1980s sitcoms, and we each had to select three, and we took an hour and a half of the show to do this, to count them down, and we each submitted our third worst, and we each went through the rotation submitting our second worst, and then the ultimate worst, and so much fun, a lot of fun to reminisce, because I watched way too much TV to be healthy back in the 1980s, so I felt like this was right in my sweet spot, my proverbial wheelhouse, and definitely go to Mitch Berg's podcast page, listen to it. Well, you should be listening to podcasts every week if you don't get to listen live, but if you had missed this one, definitely check it out. It was so much fun, and I look forward to doing worst 1980s movies. That's our next one. I don't know specifically when that'll take place, but as soon as Mitch puts it on the calendar and gets the four of us together, we're going to make it happen. I've already got a few submissions in mind, that's for sure. So there was a lot of flap over 16-year-old Greta Thunberg being named Time Magazine's Person of the Year.
There sure was.
And it's really the idea behind it is that this profiles a person, group, an idea, or an object that, for better or for worse, has done the most to influence the events of the year. I mean, this is Time Magazine standard. I mean, for crying out loud, Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin were once Time Magazine's persons of the year. All right, I'm not equating Greta Thunberg with Hitler or Stalin. Don't at me, as the kids say. All right, that's not what I'm doing. I'm just saying that it doesn't necessarily mean that she's being held in high esteem and lauded. But let's be honest, she probably is in this case, because climate change is the signature issue of the progressive agenda. And somebody mentioned on Twitter today, you know, with China and India being perhaps the biggest offenders of increased carbon emissions, whereas the U.S. has been slightly declining in carbon emissions, it's really nothing more than high-profile virtue signaling to stand before the U.N. and point your finger and say, how dare you, okay, to the Western world when the biggest offenders are the Chi-Coms, okay? So you can sit there and lecture the Western world and chide President Trump for being a science denier all you want, but before you're willing to put on your big boy or big girl pants and go after the Chi-Coms, it's empty rhetoric is all it is. But I digress. So the thing I did not like or have not liked since Greta Thunberg became a national public figure was the personal attacks against her. Now, I'm against personal attacks against people regardless. Because my thing is, if you're going to engage in a policy debate, personal attacks show that you really don't have a coherent argument to combat against, you know, whatever policy you're debating. So just as a general rule, personal attacks aren't very productive. But to do so against a 16-year-old young lady, it's not productive. And for the President of the United States to go after Greta Thunberg is also not productive. And I'm sorry, it's disgusting. I can't defend it, won't defend it. Here was the president's tweet, in case you missed it. He replied to a tweet to Roma Downey, of all people. Roma Downey, the actress, was congratulating Greta on being named Time's Person of the Year.
And the president replied to that tweet saying, "So ridiculous. Greta must work on her anger management problem, then go to a good old-fashioned movie with a friend. Chill, Greta, chill." And again, not helpful, not productive. Even if Greta was a 50-year-old climate change activist, that's not productive. It's just not. So full stop, I condemn it. No excuses for it. And especially in light of some woman during impeachment hearings a week or two ago invoked Barron Trump's name, the president and Melania Trump's 13-year-old son. And that was condemnable. And I condemn that. Absolutely, I did. But there is a difference. Greta has chosen to get on the world stage, speak before the UN, and made herself a public figure. Barron Trump is not. He didn't want all. The only thing he's guilty of is being the child of the president and first lady. He's never once sought the spotlight. So there is a difference. Does that justify the president going after Greta Thunberg? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So there's no excuses for it. What I think you can do is you can go after Greta Thunberg, the adults in her life, not Greta herself, but the adults in her life who are using her as a human shield, basically. Like her parents who sympathize with Antifa and are big climate change advocates themselves, because they want it both ways. They demand that we listen to this young lady. This is a very conscientious, idealistic, and engaged young lady talking about the most serious issue of our time. We need to listen to her. We need to give her our full attention. But then if you subject her comments, not Greta personally, but her comments to critical analysis, it's like, oh my God, she's 16 years old. What are you doing? Well, which is it? Are we supposed to listen to her and take her words at face value and take what she has to say seriously? Or, oh my God, she's 16. Don't subject her comments to critical analysis, because that's basically what's being said. You can't have it both ways. Addressing her policy statements perfectly on the up and up, especially if you're going to let her speak on a world stage. All right? Because this is, and so again, I don't even blame Greta personally, because this is a young lady with Asperger's. Now, she's very high functioning. You can tell by some of the things she says. But the downside of this is she can occasionally say things and do things that probably are not productive, and she's not aware of really what she's saying, because there was a comment, I don't know if you saw this, where she basically said if world leaders aren't going to get engaged in the, let me find the exact quote. I can't find it here. But basically she said that world leaders, if they don't take this issue seriously, need to be put against the wall. All right? Well, what do you think when you say putting somebody against the wall? You think firing squad, right? So the insinuation is world leaders should be assassinated by a firing squad if they don't take climate change seriously. Now, again, call me naive, whatever else. I don't believe she really understood that analogy or is aware of that analogy.
I mean, I think she meant to say just put pressure on them. I don't think she is deliberately meaning like a firing squad or anything.
Yeah, and here's what she said. She said, "Yesterday I said we must hold our leaders accountable, and unfortunately said put them against the wall."
Yeah.
So she said the Swenglish version was, I can't read Swenglish, so I don't know what that says. To put someone against the wall means to hold someone accountable. I'll buy that. She's 16 years old. I don't believe she was invoking violence or advocating violence. But again, when you put a 16-year-old kid, she is a kid. She's a kid. Up on a world stage like this, this is the kind of stuff that can happen. These unfortunate faux pas. And that's not fair to her. Again, we encourage our kids to be engaged in issues and learn about these issues and then be able to apply critical thinking. But the vast majority of them don't have the emotional maturity to handle this. And I find it wildly inappropriate that these parents are unnecessarily, and in my opinion, and in the opinion of many scientists, incorrectly saying that we're on the verge of some sort of apocalypse. Is climate change an issue? Sure it is. But this idea that we've only got 12 years, no credible scientist is really saying that.
And also, it's classic crying wolf, because how many people who are experts, you know, in the issue, deemed experts, and I use experts in square quotes, like Al Gore, say, well, in 10 years, we're going to be past the point of no return. In early 2006, Al Gore said, if we don't take substantive action in 10 years, we're past the point of no return. Well, 10 years later, which was early 2016, it came and went, we're still here, you know? And back in the 70s, it was global cooling was the biggest concern, that the planet's going to freeze over and be uninhabitable within a decade or so. Well, that didn't happen either. So, again, if the progressives say that we only have 12 years for this planet to be inhabitable, I'm not going to bother to learn all 20 of your gender pronouns, if that's the case. Al from Zimmerman is on line one. Al, go ahead. You're on the Northern Alliance Radio Network.
Yeah, well, global warming is the biggest farce on Earth, and it's a joke. Global warming and climate change and the big freeze, I'm 60 years old, and I've been hearing it for 60 freaking years. But this Greta girl, I mean, come on. Her parents are propping her up.
Right.
They're making millions of dollars.
Yep.
It's just disgusting. Yep. And she has a mental illness. And she's the person of the world. Oh, boy. I don't know what to say. I can't stand it any longer. And then we have Tim Walz. Come on. What is wrong with these people? It's all got to be tied together some way with globalization, or I don't know. I don't understand it, but socialism is not going to happen in America, I hope. If it does, I'm not going to live here.
Appreciate the comment, Al. Thanks so much. Why don't we take a break? 651-289-4488 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter at hashtag NarnShow, hashtag N-A-R-N Show. One final segment coming up on today's broadcast with me, Brad Carlson, the closer. Go nowhere.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
This time of year, you're bombarded with commercials from jewelry stores talking about incredible prices and amazing selections. But you know what word you never hear? Quality. Why? Because jewelry store chains and jewelers at the mall aren't about quality. At Wicks and Jewelers, quality is a word they live by every day. In fact, their stellar reputation was built on it. From their incredible collections of diamonds and gemstones to their exclusive timepieces, everything at Wixen is of the highest caliber and designed to last a lifetime. Give her a gift that she can wear forever. A gift from Wicks and Jewelers, Bloomington.
If you are experiencing hair loss, let this be the year to make a new hair's resolution. I'd like to introduce you to the only permanent solution to hair loss, IneedMoreHair.com. Hi, I'm Mike Greenlee, familiar voice with Minnesota hockey fans. If you have hair loss and want more hair, go to IneedMoreHair.com. You will find some of the most experienced hair transplant specialists in Minnesota. Their doctors have given patients from around the world, including some of the most prominent celebrities, a full head of hair, and they can do the same for you. Here's the best part. Their technique is so advanced, the results are guaranteed in writing, and their prices are the best in the business. Prices as low as $3 per graft. Their office is conveniently located in Eagan. IneedMoreHair.com will allow you to see a more confident reflection of yourself. That's IneedMoreHair.com. The consultations are free, and the results are amazing. Check out IneedMoreHair.com for complete details. That's IneedMoreHair.com. Experience you can trust. Prices you can afford. Let this be the year to make a new hair's resolution. Check out IneedMoreHair.com.
It's time to sit back and enjoy the holiday cheer. And Home Advisor is here to give you a hand with any last-minute lingering home projects on your to-do list. From minor repairs to major remodels, Home Advisor connects you with top-rated pros in seconds. Read reviews from your neighbors, request quotes, and check the project cost guide to see what others paid for similar projects. To find the right pro at a fair price, go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app. And happy holidays from your friends at Home Advisor.
The world of business and investing is constantly changing. How are you keeping up with all the info? Most likely, you're not. Checking websites, reading trade magazines, making phone calls, checking more websites, and still not finding what you need to know. That's where Business 1440 steps in. We're your on-air guide through the fast-paced financial and business landscape. Up-to-the-minute business and investing news. Streaming now at TwinCitiesBusinessRadio.com.
When it comes to replacing your windows and doors, ignorance is not bliss. You only want to have to do it once, and you don't want to make a mistake. Great Plains Windows and Doors has been helping homeowners all over the Twin Cities with their replacement needs, utilizing the entire line of Anderson Core product, including the most popular 400 series, which contractors trust the most, and they're made right here in Minnesota. Now that sounds like bliss. For a truly remarkable experience, contact Great Plains Windows and Doors at greatplainswindows.com.
That I can't quite explain.
Welcome back, AM 1280 The Patriot. Let me try to explain it for you. Hey, welcome back. One final segment on the broadcast with me, Brad Carlson. Thanks for tuning in.
And if I said it 100 times.
651-289-4488. I know I've said it 100 times, but I'll give you the number again.
Expect 1,000 more.
Yeah, and 1,000 more, I'm going to tell you the hashtag. It's hashtag Narn Show, hashtag N-A-R-N Show for any comments or questions if you'd like to weigh in via Twitter. So their Times criteria for selecting person of the year, and again, this has been going on for close to a century, I believe. They kind of have their list that they want to, you know, kind of some credentials they want to check mark. One is a belief that the world is round and an admiration of the statesman's view of all the world. A general distrust of the present tendency towards increasing interference by government, a prejudice against the rising cost of government, faith in the things which money cannot buy, a respect for the old, particularly in manners, and an interest in the new, particularly in ideas. Again, this was Henry Luce's 1920s prospectus for Time magazine. And this is from an article from the Federalist, by the way. And he is, this piece was talking about, was that a complaint, by the way?
No, somebody just, I said, Brad Carlson Show, Northern Lines Radio Network, can I get your name where you're calling from, please? And they just hung up.
Oh, I guess so, they didn't want to give their name. All right.
Not.
I don't know why it's got to be like that. Anyways, the Federalist, this particular piece by the Federalist, Ben Dominic, talks about why the case for Hong Kong is being the Hong Kong protester, being the person of the year. Would there be a lot of argument with that? I don't think so. Maybe the Chi-Coms might object, but here's Ben's piece. In keeping with that mission, the person of the year we ought to hail is the protester in Hong Kong. In defiance of the most powerful authoritarian regime in the modern world, the protester in Hong Kong has stood against the authority of Red China with courage and dedication. They have not bowed to the brutality of the police who have murdered, raped, and abused them. They have not run from the tear gas or the hoses. They have refused to back down. And because of that, their message has been heard. It is a protest that cuts across the lines of age and class. While the protesters are younger, they are supported by their parents' generation, which feels guilt over not asserting themselves earlier. So their mantra is, be water. Hong Kong has enjoyed freedoms never present in mainland China. They see those freedoms slipping away. And rather than bow to the inexorable betrayal, the thuggish assertion of the murderous state, they stood and they fight. There is no bigger fight. And so the Hong Kong protester is the person of the year. That is a very compelling case to me. And I have lauded these people as often as I possibly can. And, of course, I played a clip on my show within the past couple of weeks where you had Hong Kong protesters singing the national anthem and waving the American flag in the streets. Okay, the same streets where they get beaten and abused by the police state. All right? So, yeah, that would have been a fantastic selection. So people look at that and say, you know, that seems like kind of an obvious selection. Why? And you can get into conspiracy theories, but they would also be backed up by evidence when you ask yourself, why wouldn't Time include them or feature them as person of the year?
Now, have they done groups of people before?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd have to look back, but it seems to me they have. Yeah. Hmm. So Time magazine was bought. I'm trying to figure out when it was bought by Mark Benioff. He's the Salesforce billionaire. It doesn't really say here, but a little background on Mark Benioff's company, Salesforce. This is from Bloomberg. San Francisco-based Salesforce, the top seller of software for managing customer relationships, wants to more than double its annual revenue to as much as $28 billion by fiscal 2023, but has recently seen slowing growth. Under co-executive officers Mark Benioff, who again recently purchased Time Magazine, and Keith Block, the company has expanded internationally, announcing investments and hiring throughout Europe and the Asia-Pacific region. Salesforce is entering China at a time when the U.S. government has made it harder for some American technology companies to sell products to Chinese customers amid a flurry of tariffs on China-made goods. So you want to expand your market share into China, okay? But the magazine you own holds up the Hong Kong protester as Time's Person of the Year. How do you think the Chi-Coms would have reacted to that?
Maybe they just won't notice.
Yeah, I don't know about
that. I doubt
that.
But I think I do have a reason why the Hong Kong protester wasn't picked is because there's no, I guess I'll use a sports term here, there's no face of that franchise. You know what I mean? There's not one singular person that you can point to among the Hong Kong, at least that I can't point to among the Hong Kong protesters to be like, all right, that is the ringleader. That is the main person that we should be paying attention to. Whereas right now, Greta Thunberg is the face of climate change.
Well, I mean, you ask about groups. I mean, just in the last couple of years, you had the Guardians. These are journalists who face persecution, arrest, or murder for their reporting. You know, those highlighted on the cover. Obviously, Jamal Khashoggi from The Washington Post. He was a columnist murdered for his criticism of the Saudi crown prince. In 2017, you had silence breakers. These are the people who spoke out against sexual abuse and harassment, including the figureheads of the Me Too movement. They were represented on the cover by strawberry picker Isabel Pasquale. That's a pseudonym. Lobbyist Adama Iwu, actress Ashley Judd, software engineer Susan Fowler, and singer-songwriter Taylor Swift. It was a travesty that Gretchen Carlson wasn't included on that, but that's neither here nor there. I don't think she's really all that desirous for the notoriety. But in 2016, Donald Trump. So it just shows you that the pick isn't always going to be the most conventional or most popular, but was there any doubt how much Donald Trump influenced news in 2016? There isn't much doubt about it. So, yeah, the person of the year, the Hong Kong protester. Yeah, to your point, Jason, there is not a specific face or ringleader, but that's the point. They're all equally putting their lives and livelihood on the line. And again, across partisan lines here in America, I don't know how you could have disagreed with that. So opportunity missed, but nevertheless, it did stoke a lot of conversation. Look at me. I took up two segments talking about it. Ladies and gentlemen, that takes care of it for me. AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. Godspeed, my friends. Skol Vikings, and have a blessed week.
Open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time. Turn all of the...
Actual patient testimonials results may vary.
The varicose veins and spider veins are hard to look at.
I wanted to hide my legs because they were all blue and spidery.
They feel like you're dragging bricks around.
At Vein Clinics of America, we want you to know you don't have to live with varicose and spider veins anymore.
It actually took my daughter pushing me to come into Vein Clinics of America, and I am so glad I came in.
If varicose and spider veins are forcing you to hide your legs, if you're tired of the pain and discomfort, we can help. For more than 35 years, Vein Clinics of America has been the leading expert in the minimally invasive treatment of vein disease, and most treatments are covered by your insurance.
I love Vein Clinics of America. It kind of has like a very big family feel to it. It was absolutely the best I could have ever experienced.
My legs looked beautiful, they felt beautiful, and I felt good inside.
Call for your personalized consultation. 800-940-5500. 800-940-5500. That's 800-940-5500.
We have reached the age where things just cost more.
Cars, mm-hmm, phones, mm-hmm. Life insurance.
Your blood pressure is up.
Your weight is up.
You're one to talk.
I have type 2 diabetes, so I'm getting dinged just like you.
Thank goodness for Big Lou.
Big Lou!
Big Lou can get term life insurance rates for a 50-year-old male with type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, or maybe he's on anxiety meds, for just around $200 a month for $1 million of coverage.
Oh, you gotta say that again.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll say it. Big Lou and term provider could get a 50-year-old man, a little dinged up, $1 million in life insurance for around $200 a month.
Call Big Lou.
Big Lou!
He's like you. 800-555-2085. That's 800-555-2085.
Don't put it off. If you're overweight, diabetic, have high blood pressure, you gotta call Big Lou.
Gotta. 800-555-2085.
Write it down.
800-555-2085.
With the cold weather upon us, it's time to look at the bright side of winter for homeowners. Did you know this is the best time of year to get quotes on window replacements? Contractors are very motivated during the slower time of year, and the prices reflect that. It's also the perfect time to examine your windows with a heat gun to see which ones are the worst if you only want to replace a few. I'm Ryan with My Three Quotes. As you may already know, this is the only free service of its kind. I'll stop by with the heat gun when we measure your windows, and I'll email you competitive installed window quotes from multiple local contractors. Whether you're looking for major brands like Anderson and Marvin or local Minnesota vinyl brands, we'll come up with the best options for your house during our one-hour meeting. Normally, you would need to sit through 9 hours of high-pressure dog and pony shows to get that many quotes. Let me do the legwork for you, since I know where to get the best quality at the best prices. If you decide to move forward, I'll be there to write up the order and do a walkthrough when it's done. And yes, installs are done all winter long. Set up an appointment online at My3Quotes. That's the number 3, My3Quotes.
AM 12.